You're with us on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. You have a line to Attorney General Josh Call. We're doing a roundup of issues circulating in the state Justice Department, starting with conflicts over legal settlements and Wisconsin not being part of that tentative multi-state settlement agreement with the maker of OxyContin. What questions do you have for the Attorney General? How do you think Wisconsin should handle legal settlements involving state government? Should the Attorney General be required to receive the legislature's approval? How do you think the money from legal settlements should be spent? We're at 800-642-1234. Attorney General Josh Call, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
You and Republican leaders in the legislature have really been battling over these legal settlements involving the state. Republicans want the authority to review authorized settlements before you act on behalf of the state. So what are your concerns with the process at this point?
Well, this is an unfortunate situation, Kate. This is a product of the extraordinary session where the Republicans in the legislature raced back into session following the 2018 elections to undermine my authority and also to undermine Governor Evers' authority. One of the things they did is that they changed the way that settlements have worked in Wisconsin for a very long time. Now, instead of resolving cases the way that they have been resolved for a long time, certain cases need to get approval from either a legislative committee or a legislative intervener, somebody who gets into a case before they can be resolved. Unfortunately, the legislature didn't create a process for how that was supposed to work. So for months, my office has been attempting to work with the legislature to create a process that's going to be workable and that can allow us to continue working to get the best possible settlements for Wisconsinites.
You asked Republicans to sign these non-disclosure agreements before they could review potential settlements. Why do you think those non-disclosure agreements are necessary?
So what we have asked the legislature to do is, if we are providing information that's confidential in nature, we have tried to create a way for them to keep that information confidential. And there's all sorts of information in a legal case that might be confidential. For example, our legal strategy is something that we don't want to disclose to the other side in the case, and so we need to keep confidential. There are also sometimes confidential documents or information you learn in the course of a case. And then sometimes settlement offers themselves are confidential. So we've been trying to create a process that will allow for confidentiality to be maintained. We have suggested confidentiality agreements. The Democrats on the Joint Finance Committee have said they'll just vote for the settlements that our office thinks are in the best interest of the state. But the Republicans on the committee have rejected both of those options. They've come back with proposals, but both of the proposals they've offered are ones that the Legislative Reference Bureau has said won't, in fact, protect confidentiality. So we continue to try to work with them, but so far the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee haven't found a solution that will they're willing to accept that will help us clean up this mess that they made in the extraordinary session.
Is this slowing down the process as you work through settlements? What's at stake here?
It is slowing down the process. It impacts cases in a lot of ways. I mean, certainly it makes getting settlements in these cases so far impossible. But, you know, as you litigate a case, it's also helpful to know how you're likely to potentially, so you have that idea as you're moving forward with the case. This process has made that much more difficult. So the outcome is that if we don't ultimately reach an agreement here, there are going to be some cases that go to trial that could have been resolved. But also, the state is involved in regularly in multi-state cases. We're one of many states that are involved. And those are valuable for the state because we can leverage the resources not just of our own office at the Department of Justice, but of AG's offices around the country to work to get good resolutions. And if we can't figure out a way to enter into settlement agreements, we're potentially going to miss out on those settlements. And that's going to be harmful to Wisconsinites. And it's going to mean that we're not recovering as much money for things like consumer protection violations or other violations of the law as we could be.
talking with Attorney General of Wisconsin Josh Call on the line, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the Attorney General? How do you think Wisconsin should be handling legal settlements involving state government? Should the Attorney General be required to receive the legislature's approval? Sign off. Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Attorney General, let's look at one of these cases, Purdue Pharma, that has been in the headlines, reportedly worth $12 billion. What are you seeking from Purdue Pharma over its role in the opioid crisis? Because Wisconsin is not part of the tentative settlement.
Yeah, earlier this year, we filed suit against two Purdue Pharma entities and also Richard Sackler, who's a former president and co-chair of the board of Purdue Pharma, and we've alleged that they engaged in false and deceptive marketing practices by downplaying the risks of opioids and overstating the benefits of opioids, and that those actions contributed to the opioid epidemic. There was a settlement that has become public that was proposed by Purdue Pharma and members of the Sackler family. Approximately half of the states agreed to that resolution, but approximately half of us don't think it goes far enough. I don't think it guarantees enough in payments from members of the Sackler family, the family that owns Purdue Pharma. Purdue has declared bankruptcy, and there will be bankruptcy proceedings, but the members of the Sackler family made billions and billions of dollars as a result of Purdue's efforts, and I think they need to provide more to the settlement than they have. I should also note that my view and the view I know of a number of other AGs is that the value of the settlement that's been reported overstates what the value of that settlement is. So we're going to continue seeking to pursue justice in this case.
It sounds like Wisconsin is holding out here.
Well, what's going to happen next because of this bankruptcy is there's going to be a process where we see if the bankruptcy court essentially accepts the settlement and requires all of the states to enter into it, or it rejects the settlement, and in which case there would be proceedings in the bankruptcy, and we'll see whether the members of the Sackler family become part of those proceedings as well or not. But, our hope is to continue, first of all, seeking recovery from Purdue through the bankruptcy process or otherwise, but also to continue seeking recovery from Richard Sackler.
During your campaign for Attorney General last year, you pledged to hold Big Pharma accountable. You also talked about the importance of expanding addiction treatment services. Have you seen Wisconsin taking steps to improve treatment?
We have made some progress on that front. The new budget contains an additional $1 million to support treatment and diversion programs. Those are programs that are available for people who end up in the criminal justice system and have an addiction. They help not focus on incarcerating people who have an addiction, but rather in helping those folks get treatment so that they can get back on their feet and hopefully not continue to end up in the criminal justice system. I think we need to continue expanding that program, but it's good to see that there's been an expansion. But part of expanding treatment is going to be based on holding pharmaceutical companies accountable for their role in this epidemic, because when we recover funds, as I was mentioning before, from whether it's Purdue Pharma or Richard Sackler or anyone else who's false and deceptive conduct contributed to the epidemic, those are funds that we can put towards treatment and prevention and enforcement efforts in communities around Wisconsin.
Over the summer, the state approved hiring the equivalent of 65 county prosecutors to help with the increasing caseloads. Where do you see the most need for these additional prosecutors, additional resources? Are you still there, Attorney General? I think we've... are you still there, Attorney General?
I am. I apologize. I was saying I'm glad to see that these funds are in place, because our criminal justice system has been underfunded for a long time in Wisconsin. There are shortages at DA's offices around the state, and this is going to help us work to address those shortages, which means that there will be less of a delay in getting justice for victims of crime, and that defendants get their day in court sooner. It also means that we have more prosecutors who can help with diversion and other alternatives to incarceration programs.
Let's bring in Ann now from Campbell Sport. Hi, Ann.
Hi. My question is, what did the legislators, the Republicans, hope to accomplish by passing this lame duck decision? What would the benefit be to citizens to have them involved in these court cases? And also, do these legislators have a law degree? Are they qualified to get involved in this sort of thing? Because I would think this is the Attorney General's job. That's why we elected him.
Ann, thanks for the call, Attorney General.
Well, I think Ann is exactly right in the points that she's getting at. You know, for a long time, this is authority that the Attorney General has exercised, and voters of Wisconsin made a decision in November of 2018, and the legislature essentially attempted to undermine the effects of that decision with these extraordinary session laws. And now we are, you know, this not only undermines the results of the election, but now we're stuck with this process that so far has not worked. And it's harming Wisconsinites because, you know, cases that the Department of Justice pursues can involve environmental enforcement. They can involve enforcing consumer protection laws against people who've, committed consumer fraud, for example. We should be able to get justice in those cases. And if we can't settle them, that means more cases are going to trial, more resources will be used on individual cases, and there will be fewer cases in which we can get justice for Wisconsinites. So, you know, they are bad laws. I certainly hope that they will be repealed at some point or struck down. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to do our best to work within the constraints that we have to try to reach an agreement with the legislature so we can move forward with cases.
We have Attorney General Josh Call on the cell phone as we work through issues at the Justice Department. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we have Attorney General Josh Call on the line here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Working through a number of issues, including now the fact that Governor Tony Evers wants new gun laws, and we've seen the Attorney General standing next to the governor at those press conferences, urging lawmakers to come to the table on gun safety legislation. So what questions do you have for the Attorney General? How do you want lawmakers to address gun violence? Join in at 800-642-1234 as Attorney General Josh Call stays with us for the next 10 minutes. Let's go back to the phones now. Jerry joining us from Amory. Jerry, hi.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
I'm interested in what happened with the money that came from the tobacco settlement. I think when Governor Thompson was in charge of things, maybe Mr. Call would have some information about that.
Jerry, thanks for the call. And Attorney General, what about the tobacco settlement?
The state of Wisconsin actually continues to receive money from the tobacco settlement. And those funds go into have been spent for a number of different uses in Wisconsin. One of the things that is different about these opioid litigations that are going on right now is we've seen in Wisconsin, I think it's 71 out of 72 counties file suit, and around the country, some cities have filed suit as well. And I know that the concern that a lot of jurisdictions have is that what happens with the recovery from opioid cases not be similar to what happened with tobacco. I think a lot of people were frustrated that settlement funds from the tobacco cases didn't go just to public health and to remediating the effects of tobacco use, but instead went to all sorts of different purposes. What I would like to see with the recovery of any funds from the opioid cases is that those funds go to our communities to work to address the opioid epidemic. It's ongoing. It has been devastating for communities around the state, and we need resources to address it.
Let's bring in Patrick now from Richland County. Patrick, hi.
Hey, good morning. Great program. And, you know, to a lot of us out here, is it possible, it kind of looks like, but is this possible that the reason the Republicans kind of wanted in on this would be to make sure that the Attorney General doesn't get too hard on the moneyed man on these settlements, and then, you know, they can kind of protect, well, their interest.
Patrick, thanks for the call. And Patrick is concerned about, you know, those backroom deals, apparently, and who does what.
Yeah, you know, these are settlements, as I mentioned before, that have been handled a particular way for a long time. And, you know, voters made their decision in November of 2018. And, you know, Republicans in the legislature decided that they think that they should have a say in how these cases are resolved. And the effect has been, as I mentioned before, that it's not been workable. And so it has interfered with our resolving these cases. And, you know, that means that resources are going to trying to work out an agreement here, potentially to continuing to litigate cases that could be handled differently. I would rather see those resources be used where they're supposed to be, which is holding polluters accountable, holding accountable those who violate our consumer protection laws. That's what we should be doing with our AG's office, not figuring out how to make this extremely difficult process workable with the Joint Finance Committee.
You and Governor Evers want the legislature to pass a red flag law so people can petition the courts to take guns over safety concerns. Republicans are saying that you really want to take away people's lawfully owned firearms. What is your response?
We have all seen the effects of these acts of mass shootings around the country. There have been devastating consequences, obviously, in the cities where they have taken place. But we now also have had millions of kids go through lockdowns in schools in the U.S. Far more have gone through lockdown drills at our schools. You know, there is a far too high rate of suicide and gun violence generally. And what I would like to see are some common sense steps that can help us address those problems. There are two measures that I support, that Governor Evers supports, that I think can make a difference and help save lives while completely respecting Second Amendment rights. That would be expanding background checks and a red flag law. Right now, the vast majority of firearm sales go through background checks, but there's essentially a loophole that allows private sales to be conducted without a background check. And what that means is that the person who's selling the firearm doesn't know whether the person who's buying it is prohibited from possessing one. So somebody who is prohibited because, say, they've committed a felony can evade a background check. I think we should be closing that loophole. What a red flag law would do is allow a family member or a household member or a law enforcement officer who sees warning signs that somebody is suicidal or potentially is going to commit an act of gun violence, and allow them to go to a judge to seek an order that would require that person temporarily to surrender their firearms. So these are laws that are focused on limiting access to firearms for people who are a danger to themselves or others, and hopefully can help save lives.
The governor has said he's open to a mandatory gun buyback program to reduce the number of firearms in the state. Would you support that kind of buyback program?
Well, I think the governor has made clear that he doesn't expect that any sort of proposal along those lines will be introduced. And I don't think a proposal along those lines should be introduced in this legislative session. I think our focus should be on the two measures I talked about, universal background checks and a red flag law. Those are proposals that about 4 out of 5 Wisconsinites support. And this is an area where we have seen inaction for far too long. I think we can make progress if we continue to focus on these two areas. So far, the Republicans in the legislature have been unwilling even to hold a hearing discussing these measures. But we're going to continue advocating for them and hopefully make some progress.
This summer, to address growing caseloads in the crime labs here in the state approved adding the equivalent of 7 crime lab positions. Have those positions been filled?
So we've been working to comprehensively address shortages of resources at the crime labs. We've got really talented staff at our crime labs who are doing cutting-edge scientific work But we need to make sure that they have the resources that they need so that when evidence is submitted, it gets turned around in a timely fashion. So like I said, we've been working to address that issue comprehensively. One way we did that is by requesting additional resources for the crime lab and the budget. We got some resources, but not as much as we requested. And so right now we are in the process, near the end of the process, of evaluating how to use those resources most effectively. And I expect that we will begin putting out requests to fill those positions soon.
Are you seeing an impact yet on the crime lab's responsiveness to requests for evidence tests?
Well, some of the changes that have been implemented, some were implemented before I came into office, and we continue to work to change the way that the crime labs are working. For example, we made the crime labs their own division within the Department of Justice. The crime lab director now reports directly to our deputy attorney general. And I think the crime lab has shown some improvement. We want to see improvement over a long term when it comes to turnaround times. And I expect that we're going to continue to see improvement. Like I said, we've got a really talented staff there, and they're working hard to make sure that when evidence gets submitted, it's tested in a timely and objective and accurate fashion.
Very quickly, we only have seconds left, but we've talked about settlements. We've talked about, gun laws on the table. We've looked at, the crime lab. What is your top priority as AG right now? Where do you put your focus?
Public safety is my top priority, and there are some critical issues. One is addressing our opioid epidemic and our growing meth problem through some of the measures we talked about, treatment, enforcement against people who are illegally selling drugs, but also companies that violate our consumer protection laws. And also we need to make sure we're educating people. I've also been advocating for legislation that's designed to prevent Wisconsin from having another backlog of untested sexual assault kits.
And we're going to have to pause right there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Josh Call is the Attorney General of Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.